thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I had two quick thoughts on that. What do you think if we don't land in the top five, which it doesn't look like we're gonna, about making a package for DeAndre Ayton, or with all the picks we have, or just waiting until next year, because they're projecting Bol Bol around 10 to 15, and that kid can play defense and has a silky smooth shot, which is great for today's NBA. Tell me what you guys think.
Okay, babe, you can't go 10 to 15. You can't go 1 to 5 to me on the NBA draft. I'm just, I can't help you there.
They're not going to get DeAndre Ayton.
Let me say one thing that I think you can say, give it to Ainge no matter what transpires. He got the player he wanted, and he got an extra pick. So now we need to see if Fultz and Ball turn into better players than that. I'm sorry, that comes out in the final analysis. But he got who he felt was the best player, and he got that extra pick. And you could use that extra pick to move back up this year.
Sure, yeah, you could trade it. That's right.
So I never considered that, which is a fair thing. You know, if LA is going to end with the well, it's not going to convey to you. You're not going to, so you'd have to move up all the way from where you're at, right?
Yes.
So it's not like the Lakers are at the 10 position right now, or 12, something like that. So it's not like you'd have to move from 12. You'd have to move from where you're at, 20.
Right, because you're not getting that pick if it's out of the top five. If it's not 2 to 5, you don't get it.
So I'm telling you, next year's pick, I don't know how much ammo that is. Sacramento's going to blow chunks. I mean, there's no question about it.
No, they're going to suck. But at the same time, see, I look at the top of this year's draft and I say, nobody's trading out of there.
This is the year to be there.
Yes, there's just too many good players. They're all, and a bunch of big guys on top of it. You know, between Bagley and Ayton, you go right down the kid at Missouri, Mo Bamba. Like, there's a bunch of them there. They're all big. Nobody's trading out of there.
Mike and Woburn on the Celtics?
Why does that shock you, Mike?
I don't know. You don't call often on the Celtics. Go ahead. What do you got?
No, but I feel like this is something where we're being revisionist with these, and there are two deals that need to be discussed.
Of course. First, we're being revisionist. That's the whole point.
Okay, well, here's the thing. And Tony agrees with me. I know he does. You can't, like, rejudge the deal based on, you know, what happens in the future if you think the deal was a good deal at the time.
No, I agree with you?
I don't believe that. Because, I don't believe that whatsoever.
Tony, I heard this all last year about the Pomerantz deal and how the Red Sox, Pomerantz might have done well, but the Red Sox still overpaid. Is that incorrect or correct as to what your opinion was?
No, they overpaid, but they've won the trade. I thought they lost it.
Okay. So, but at the time, you could say, yes, they overpaid. Ainge did not overpay on any of these deals. Did not. Are we all in agreement?
Yes.
Okay. The shocking thing about the Kyrie Irving deal, and we all agreed that it was a massive...
No, we lost
young, talented player.
Yeah, keep going, Mike. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. The basically, he gave up the least valuable of all four of the New Jersey picks. And he got the guy that you wanted them to get for years, which was, we got to use these picks to get a star. And he did. And he didn't give up any young talent doing it. Honestly, if the lottery, if they do hit the lottery and it comes through, it's a bonus. I'm not giving Ainge credit for the ping pong balls magically, falling in his favor, because let's face it, Cleveland was not taking the LA pick over the New Jersey.
Oh, that's not what people were saying early in the year, Mike. Early in the year, people were saying, oh, Ainge put one over on them. Ainge put one over on them. He got them to think that the Brooklyn pick was worth more, but the Lakers pick is going to be lower. Like, how many times did I have to hear that? And no, and just the opposite. And Mike says that he gave up the least valuable of the Brooklyn picks. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, see, I don't know what he's talking about on that one, because, again, I go by this draft.
Right, exactly. So there's two points there. The balls haven't come in yet. The ping pong balls haven't hit yet. So it's not going to be more than one, which is what it was last year, obviously. But what if at number three this year you can draft a better player than you could at number one last year?
Exactly right. This draft, you know, look, I don't know if Ainge looks at it that way, because he likes wing players, clearly, in the modern NBA. But I still think, you know, it helps to have a big guy. And there are big guys in this draft. To me, this was the draft to be in.
I think it's just fair. It's just fair to say, let's see what these players become. And the whole jumping off point was Fultz returning. Like, I mean, right now, it feels like a rout. Tatum over Fultz and Ball, and you get an extra pick? Like, grand slam home run. I'd do it 10 times out of 10. I'm not telling you I wouldn't do it. But it was just a jumping off point to say, well, we all knew, even I that doesn't know anything. I don't know Mo Bamba from Yo Mama. Even I knew that Tatum was the more NBA-ready player in year one. Everyone said that. Tatum was the NBA-ready player, and Ball and Fultz were more long-term projects. So why don't we just wait to see what those long-term projects become? I mean, if it takes a while, but the guys, the equivalent of Joel Embiid, who took some time too, and redshirts years and all of that, and if they become a better player, you're allowed to factor that in to the trade.
Of course you are.
And I believe that you can only judge trades in hindsight. That's the only way to judge them.
Well, because look, in that league, it takes 5 years, for crying out loud. I mean, in retrospect, I don't remember what, now I'm going back, like the famous trade that Auerbach made, Joe Barry Carroll for Parrish and McHale. I don't remember what Joe Barry Carroll was in his rookie year, but had he turned into, Hakeem Olajuwon, that would have been worth it for Golden State. You have to look at it that way, particularly when you're talking about young players in that league.
And also, I think what you need to see in the final analysis is, can Kyrie Irving stay healthy and lead you to a championship? Doesn't that have to come out in the wash too? Because that's the whole point of giving up a lottery pick in Brooklyn and giving up what was your best player at the time in Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you do that for a guy that can reliably make you a championship contender. He hasn't quite done that yet.
To me, Ainge was on an unbelievable roll.
He still is. Those were great trades, but can we just let it play out?
Right, but I'm saying he was on such a roll where he was nailing everything. Everything, where it felt like he was. And on this one, the Laker pick didn't break right. I mean, it didn't. Fact.
And that was the year, again, because of this draft, that was the year to be in the top five.
I mean, I just think that, again, the Bagley kid that plays for Duke, the more I watch him, man, he's good, too. He's dynamite. Like, there's a lot of good players at the top of that draft.
Here's Chris in Danvers with the Bruins Thought. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just want to comment on one thing. Remember when you guys said that Brad Marchand is a little poop guy that nobody really likes? Remember Ken Linsman?
Yes, sure, the rat.
The rat. I used to hate him when he was in Philadelphia. When he came to the Bruins, he was incredible. I loved him. Same thing with Brad Marchand. I think that's the way that he has to play. What do you guys think?
Okay, I think as a fan, that's great. I love him when he's on my team. I hate him when he's on someone else's team. I said this yesterday. Yeah, I can't do that as a talk show host. That then would render me useless.
Marchand's better than Linsman. And the thing is, he doesn't have to play that way anymore. That's sort of the point.
The rat, Kenny Linsman, had to.
I mean, the league was so different back then, for crying out loud. Linsman was a little guy. Now you can't hit anybody anyway, and the little guy's the one doing the hitting.
But anyway, Marchand is a assassin with his shot, with his offensive game.
I'm telling you, it's ridiculous the way he shoots the puck now. Ridiculous. Like, I between the one-timers down at the bottom of the face-off circle there when he's on the power play and being able to sneak one through the side door, or, picking corners, backhands off the roof, like all of it. He's insane in terms of finishing. Insane. There are not many better finishers, pure finishers now. I'm not talking about Ovechkin just blasting away. I'm talking about a guy being able to hit a spot and finish. There aren't many better than him in the league.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. I have a lot of respect for Malcolm from the day he got here in rookie minicamp 4 years ago. He's always competed as hard as he could. He always was a great competitor on the field, and I totally respect that. I'm not going to get into last year. I'm not going to get into next year or some other year. I talked to Malcolm. I wish him well at Tennessee. And I have a lot of respect for Malcolm, and we wish him well.
When it comes to Malcolm, I have a unique spot for him. I had hoped he would be a Patriot for all his days. The fact that we lost, and we lost the way we did, I still haven't gotten over it.
Belichick and Kraft the last couple of days, courtesy of Jim Murray there. Do you think we're ever going to know on Malcolm Butler what happened?
Nope.
Not 100% no.
I do.
You do?
Yep.
What, when the book is written 10 years from now?
No, I think we'll know in the next year.
From who, Bill?
Someone. No, the reporter will have it.
Wickersham.
That Bill will leak it or someone will leak it. Someone will leak it.
My answer is no. I bet you we don't get full clarification.
We will. It's they've sort of sprung leaks like a sieve down there. I don't know if you've noticed. Like it's we sort of now somehow know their laundry for some reason.
Yeah, but what if part of this united front we're getting from at least Bill and Robert over the last couple of
it's
days
not gonna
is,
last.
Is part of
it's not gonna last.
Tighten up the ship. No loose lips.
Short-term situation. We're going to know. There's just too many people working on the story, too many people trying to figure it out. Again, and you know, someone's just going to hit. Someone is just going to hit. Could it be Bedard? Could it be Bedard who pretends not to be a flamethrower, pretends not to want to roll in the mud, but he does. He wants to roll around in the mud like a wildebeest.
Deep down, Greg Bedard is dirty.
He says, until I hear otherwise, I'm going to believe Belichick had his reasons, which stem from Butler's unfocused play during the season, and I've heard from a source. The Butler decision emanated from another strong defensive voice, and Belichick merely consented. So a strong defensive voice.
Belichick consented?
And Belichick consented.
What, were they having sex? Like,
Bedard writes, Belichick merely consented. So first of all, big boy, meaning Bedard. I don't like that you're letting Belichick off the hook. Like, this was someone else's idea, and Bill just said, okay, you're telling me he's not ready? Fine, we're not going to play him. Like, that takes the heat off of Bill. Bill's supposed to know whether he's ready or not. He's supposed to make that decision.
I mean, to say Belichick consented makes it sound like the defensive coordinator went to him and said, here's what I want to do, and Bill said, okay, fine, go with it.
That's what some people think.
I still think it's a player.
Okay, and then there's another one, and Zolak in the midday keeps alluding to stuff like this. And talking about Mike Reese, and was Malcolm Butler really in the hospital? Like, he showed up late for the week, I mean, right, on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever he showed up, because he was allegedly in the hospital. He wasn't feeling well. And Butler, even himself, during the Tennessee press conference or in his interview with Howe, one of those, said something along the lines of, well, you know, I wasn't feeling well. I was behind on the game plan. Maybe I wasn't myself.
My head wasn't in it or something.
Head wasn't there. Right. And, you know, maybe Bill was reacting to that. So add up those two things. Zoe's sort of implying he wasn't even in the hospital. Or he might not have been in the hospital. Like, they're curious, was he even in the hospital? And where was his head at? And something along those lines. So somewhere in that area as well. To which I don't care, to which I say, you know, I'd like to know.
So that explains the beginning of the game.
Right, that all explains the beginning of the game. It does not explain that he's in uniform, helmet on, cleared to play, and Johnson, Jordan, whoever, Batamosi, gets all those snaps to get torched up and down the field, or Jordan Richards gets all those snaps to get torched up and down the field, and they never make an adjustment to see if Butler's okay to play in that game.
I just love how on his way to the bus.
There is no excuse for that.
On his way to the bus, when Mike Reese caught up to him, Malcolm Butler's bitching about not being in the game and saying, I know I could have affected that game on the field. And then all of a sudden he's saying, my head wasn't there and I understand it. What happened in between? Like, there's no way that Butler was, you know, all of a sudden okay with it. Like, they took his ammunition away. They sort of shut him up. Like, something happened there where they came to an agreement, and Malcolm, just bite your tongue, and everything's well and good. And, you know, we made a mistake. The only way I will ever believe that we get the whole story is if Bill Belichick writes a book or does an interview where he says, one of the things I really regret is not putting Butler into that game.
It's coming out sooner, buddy. We'll get it. I mean, we won't get it. Someone will get it, and we'll get it to chew on.
See, but I want to hear it from Belichick. The only way I'm ever going to believe it is if Belichick says, takes blame for it.
Oh, come on. We're going to believe if it's an interesting story, and we're going to go with it. And if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not our fault. We're going to react to what someone else reports, and we're going to get it. So eventually, we're going to get it.
Okay, so if there was some off-field thing with Malcolm Butler, you think that we're going to find that out? And are you going to believe that?
Yes.
You're going to believe that it was entirely an off-field thing?
I mean, I'm never going to agree with the decision not to play him. But if there's a credible report about what happened, I will believe it. I believe most everything.
Okay, I see what you're saying. See, I look at that and say, if it was an off-field thing, it's no excuse. You should have played him.
Tony, I'm never going to forgive Bill or let him off the hook. I'm just telling you, will I believe the detailed report? Yes, sure, especially if it's interesting or salacious. I'll believe it. Why not?
Okay, so
And we'll talk about it.
I'm talking about I'm not letting Bill off the hook.
I'm not either.
Bill made a mistake.
Yes, I told you from day one. I told you for the very first segment, the very first day. Why was he in uniform? That's the whole point. That's the whole nut. if he had done something so egregious or it was so obvious that he couldn't play in the football game, then don't put him in uniform. I said that. That's it. And that's why that's so important. Other than that, if he's in uniform and cleared to play and you don't play him, there is no excuse. I don't care if he was a cat juggler. I don't care if he was a baby robber. Maybe that. But if he's a baby robber, then you don't put him in uniform. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you're saying when we find out that it could be, it still might be something you don't agree with.
I don't care if he told Steven Belichick to go F himself. You put him in uniform, he's cleared to play, you're losing the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And you don't play him? No excuse, not off the hook.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
I want to hear Belichick admit that he made a mistake.
That's never going to happen.
Here's the other thing. Oh, yeah, no shot. No shot. Here's another thing that's crawled up my tailpipe. I got to hear from Giselle again about Brady's health. She did an interview in the Wall Street Journal, and you know, it said some things that I do like. You know, about she was asked about, encouraging Brady to retire, and she said it's not my decision to make; it's his decision, and he knows it. It wouldn't be fair any other way. So good, get out of his ear. The other thing is, she said, and this does go up my tailpipe. I'm entitled to have my concerns because my husband is the father of my children. If you don't have your health, what do you have? Which, again, on the face of it, I agree with 100%. We all should. It's the most important thing, your health. God, that's it, man. No question about it. And you're right to prioritize it. I just don't want to hear this a couple months after you trade the future quarterback. I don't want to hear about your health. I don't want to hear about your family. I want to hear about going balls to the wall for the next 3 years because we just traded the quarterback of the next decade. So that's what's frustrating me. And again, I've talked about this a lot. You don't get to talk like this because over the previous several years, Brady wasn't talking like this. He was talking about playing to 45 and having all the answers. And so because of that, we traded the next quarterback. Great. Now we trade the next quarterback and we're talking about the health is the most important thing. No, you don't get to do that.
No, if he walks, it's one of the great dink moves of all time. How do you think Robert Kraft feels about that? If Kraft intervened on Brady's behalf and helped facilitate the trading of Garoppolo, and then Brady says, I think I'm going to hang it up, I'd be livid if I were Kraft.
Just having to hear about the Brady family talking about his future health. If you're worried about your future health, that's smart. Good. You should worry about your future health. Retire and let us play the kid. Perfect. Everybody gets what they want. But you kick and scream and demand, and also, play so great and are so dedicated that we have to move the kid, but now you can't go back and talk about the other thing. That's the whole reason we traded the kid, because you're all in.
They're not without fault, though, because, I said this when you were out last week, late in the week, Maz, is that they are kind of dealing with the assumption of Tom would still be here for the next 3 years. They probably should have reworked the deal at that point with Brady to ensure that, yes, he would be in the fold for the next three seasons. Now it feels like, well, at least you're hearing from Gotham Chopra, it's going to be year to year. Year to year, I'd be out of my mind if I was Robert Kraft if I heard that.
Oh, and Bill, like Belichick, is like, I told you guys.
Right.
I told you. This is why you have someone ready to go. This is why you don't let guys get entitled. This is why you don't put all your eggs in one basket. This is why you draft the next guy and then you go to the next guy, Robert. I told you. We traded him, and now all we hear about is future health and picking up the kid at hockey practice. I told you, Robert.
Oh, that's exactly what he's thinking between his ears. We were talking about that yesterday. Like, you can't you just see him there looking at Robert and going, you dope, you trusted him.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, you don't do that. You trusted him, you fool. What'd you think? Once you gave him leverage, what'd you think he was going to do? So, look, I just think, to me, that was the thing that if it's going the way we think it is, that this is it, this is the sort of passing or the changing of the guard, and that Bill is handing the scepter to McDaniels in 2018, the thing that will have forced him out the door was the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo.
So here's an idea, folks. You can ask Brady these questions directly. Maybe. Join his Best Buddies event. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. Do that. Go to the event. We'll talk to you first. We'll put some questions in your head. You go up and ask him, then you tell us what he says, and we'll do a show on it. All right, is that a good deal?
Absolutely. Here, bring a recorder.
Murray's update. We're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean, it went well. I think the work we did when we went on the road, the guys staying back, especially in the infielders, was great. Bruce, Ramon, also Andy, they help a lot. We got better defensively throughout the spring. Records doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We could be 9-21, although people probably go nuts if that was the case.
How was your spring, Alex?
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Suck on that, baby! Woo-hoo! How do you like us now?
Who else had 22 wins in Grapefruit League action? What's up?
Suck it!
That's embarrassing.
22-9, bitches.
Okay.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Yeah, friggin' best record in baseball, baby. Yeah.
You want to doubt me as a first-time manager? Who else has the double deuce this spring? What's up?
I mean, he was joking, but it's funny.
No, it's not. Alex,
was he?
Alex, how was your spring?
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Yeah. But he's right. If they were 9-21, I'd bring it up.
Oh, no question I would. 9-22, they look like garbage. I told you, I still wonder about, you know, how, what's the right word, how stretched out the starters are going into the season. I think the pitching
staff. They're
not. Yeah, I think it could be a little rickety at the beginning.
Okay, but this is what you want.
It is what I want.
You personally.
Yeah.
I mean, you said they have to manage Sale, and they're managing Sale.
Yeah, I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm just telling you there's a trade-off. So I'm not complaining about it. I'm just telling you what to expect.
You're a little bit of ominous tone in your voice there.
The pitching could be a little rickety at the beginning of the year, fortunately.
And not against Tampa and Miami. It's
well, they're playing AAA teams, so maybe that was part of the logic. So again, it's you talk about playing dog food
Holy
out of the chute.
Moly.
It is. It's twice with Tampa, and in between it's Miami. Blech.
So it's
white trash of Florida. Listen, that's what they're playing.
This is how bad it is. This is how bad these teams are tanking. They're in full. They're doing what Houston did and Chicago before. They're unabashedly full. We want to lose mode to the point where in game three of this series in Tampa, Tampa's starting pitcher is bullpen.
It's a bullpen game, yes.
They're going bullpen.
Means they're going to use like 6-7 guys.
In the third game, not the fifth, and not in some game where the schedule got all goofy and they had... No, no. Out of the chute, third game of the year, bullpen game.
No, that's right. It's not like they have a doubleheader after a 19-inning game. That's right. Third game of the year.
Insane.
Yeah. Tampa's in full tank mode.
Okay, so you're going to have the best record the first week of the year, Alex.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Suck on that. Yeah, you're going to have that for a while.
But if they don't, they go 4-5 in those
Ooh.
First nine, that'll be good eating.
Okay, so more of that on the Baseball Reporters coming up at 6. Baseball Reporters is back. So you'll hear Maz on that. If you want to weigh in the, before we're done, by all means, you can give us a call. In the meantime, we're loaded up on people who apparently don't like the fact that I'm just saying, let these trades play out before we give the final grade to Ainge. I know that's too hot of a take, but I'm the a-hole because I say let it play out. Jay in Leominster. Go ahead, Jay.
Toby, listen, Dakota is absolutely right. Give me a minute. Let me tell you why. Listen, you and Tony always cry, let ponies more horses. So the jury is absolutely closed on him because if I had told you that in the offseason Danny would trade Isaiah, Brooklyn pick, Jay Zizic for Kyrie, you would say all day, that's ponies for horses. Then you would still get Hayward that same offseason. Also get to dump Bradley and get rid of his contract and pick up Morse, who I think is a better offensive player than Bradley is. And any Brad Stevens team is going to be a good offensive team. I mean, defensive team. So you don't need his defense. So seeing all that, the jury's closed, man. Even if you can't see the future, so you don't know if he's going to be injured, he's going to be plagued by injuries, you still have that offseason. If you have a chance to get Hayward and Kyrie, you do it.
I would do it again. I told you that. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I would do it. But don't tell me you're not going to look at this differently if in 5 years, Markelle Fultz turns out to be a better player than Jason Tatum. It's possible. Or Lonzo Ball turns out to be a better player than Jason Tatum. You're going to look differently on this trade. If in 5 years, Kyrie Irving can't get healthy and that knee's always a problem and he doesn't lead him to a championship or he doesn't resign here, you're going to look at that trade differently. If the Brooklyn pick this year that... You know, you thought was a smart move to send instead of the Lakers pick. If that Brooklyn pick turns into Bagley or Mo Bamba or someone who turns into a legit NBA star big man, you're going to look at this trade differently. And that's okay. That's the only way to look at trades is how they end up and how everyone plays at the end of the day. You can't make an analysis of a trade when it happens. I mean, you could say you would do it, and I would do it. But no, I'm sorry. It just all has to play out.
I mean, I can't believe people are like debating this. You know, you can say as a GM, you make the best decision you can at that time. But then 3 years down the road, you look back on, let's use Kelly Olynyk. When the Celtics drafted Kelly Olynyk, they thought it was the right move. You think they would do it differently now if they had the chance to take it over and get the Greek freak?
And that's fair. That's the only way to judge draft picks is 3-4 years later. It's the only way to judge trades or moves is 3-4 years later. And you can say whether you would do it or not, and at the time, did it feel right? Did it feel like an overpay? You can judge all those things. Ainge didn't overpay. Ainge didn't overpay. And again, I would do all those things again. But what if those other players turn out to be better than Jason Tatum? You'll look at it differently. Paul in the car. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Michael, I think the problem that we have is how anti-Fultz you were before the draft. He can't beat Yale. His team had a sub-500 record.
Like I said, I would have done it. I said I would have done that trade. And
the whole thing is how anti-Fultz you were. Now you're saying, well, let's wait and see. Fultz might be better. I think that's what the gist of that getting all the Celtics fans upset is.
Yes, and I'm just implying that maybe they should just let it play out and that maybe you didn't get the best player in the draft. And I have no idea. The kid played last night for the first time in 68 games. He's got a million miles to go. Nothing I saw or have seen tells me that Markelle Fultz is a better player. I'm the wrong guy to ask anyway because I don't watch college hoop. So it was just a jumping off point. Hey, let's just let we all knew that Tatum was a more NBA-ready player. We all knew Tatum was going to be the best player in year one than Ball and Fultz. That's what everyone told us, and that turned out to be true. But you make a draft pick for the rookie year. You make the draft pick for who's going to be the best player over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, that guy's missing the point. I mean, there's plenty. You know, look, at the time, of course you have an opinion on whether or not you should take a player. Everyone does.
At the time, I loved the trade. Loved it. So maybe I'm wrong, too. I loved it because all the hoop nerds are like, Fultz, you got to take Fultz, you got to take Fultz. And I'm like, he couldn't beat Yale. Like, well, that doesn't matter, Felger, you idiot. So I actually loved the trade. I love that they traded out of Fultz. Just because I it scared me that he had a 9-19 record and couldn't beat Yale. I'm like, that's scary. So yeah, trade out, great. So maybe I'm wrong too. We're not going to know if I was right or wrong until another 3 or 4 years, maybe longer.
I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, you look at it and say, I make the decision I make at that point in time. And then at the end, when my career's over, hopefully I will have won more than I've lost. Right? And I mean that on the trades. But as a fan, you absolutely look at the result and judge it after the fact. How else can you judge a trade by to say they gave up this guy, they got that guy, and he ended up winning 5 championships for him? Well, that's a great trade.
So instead, maybe go with a different angle.
What are these people talking about?
Maybe go with a different angle with the guy they're going to see tomorrow night, Donovan Mitchell, the guard in Utah who went 13th overall. Well, you can just say, hey, Danny made the wrong assessment because he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. That's who they should have drafted.
So you can always play that game, too. I think that's...
I'm sorry, this is pissing me off, this whole thing. Like, did the Portland Trailblazers make the right move by drafting Sam Bowie instead of Michael Jordan because they did what they knew at the time?
Yeah, you can't go back and judge it in hindsight.
I mean, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Dimitri in Rhode Island, you go.
What's going on, fellas? Long time listener, first time caller. I think you're pretty much right as far as we need to give it some time. I mean, I'm a Lakers fan, but I watch the league completely biased. I think Tatum has potential to be Paul Pierce, and I think Lonzo has potential to be Jason Kidd. They play the game completely different, so who's better to say? I think it's more as to the better fit for each team.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean,
not in that league.
Yeah, forget about fit, who's ever the better player.
I mean, because in that league, you change your offense for the best player.
Exactly. Whoever your best player is, you fit around the player, not the other way around. No, it's going to come down to, can Fultz and Ball shoot? Can they shoot? Can they ever learn to shoot? And I, you know, again, if you ask me, I'm taking Tatum over those guys all day long. And again, maybe I'll be wrong, but you can't determine that now. If Ball is still going to start his shot here and end up over here, he can't, like, you just can't live that way. They've got to break them all down and reset them. And if they're doing that, that's going to cost him years. So, I mean, I think he's got a long way to go. And Fultz, he still looks like he's pushing the ball, just watching those clips last night.
I mean, to me, like, you know, there were a couple of jumpers in there. His first one, I think it was about 15 feet. He airballed it. There were a couple of others that got jammed down his throat. So, look, he had some point guard skills, but I wouldn't say all of a sudden his shot is back.
Green teamers don't like it when you second-guess Ainge. And this isn't even second-guessing. I'm just saying, let's just, you know, at second thought, let's let it play out. Because the draft pick outlay didn't work out the way we thought. We thought the L.A. pick would be more valuable than the Brooklyn pick, and it wasn't. It wasn't. So that's one piece that didn't go your way. Maybe there's others. And again, how about Kyrie Irving? He hasn't made it through his first year here, and nothing happened to him, folks. No one hit him. No one bumped him. He didn't fall. He just simply couldn't make it through the year, and maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, you celebrated the fact that you got Cleveland to take on damaged goods. Well, what did you take on? Let it all play out. Nick and Belmont, go.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Ainge, and bear with me, I have a couple points here, but this all boils down to intent with Danny Ainge and the picks he's made. So if you're playing pool and you hit the seven ball, but you were going for the three ball, you don't get credit for that. So Danny Ainge has been loading up on picks for the last 10 years, okay? Everyone says you need three superstars to win. Right now, borderline one superstar left if Kyrie doesn't play and Hayward's out for the rest of the year. So to me, if the Celtics somehow find a way to win this championship, Ainge gets zero credit.
Oh, stop.
Anything.
Okay, so I'm not doing that. Your phone blows, by the way. No, if they win a championship, then everything you've been saying about Ainge is validated and you have no more argument from anyone. That's all that matters. He took you from the bottom to the top. I don't care how it happened, whether he got... Everyone gets lucky. Luck's a big part of it. So I'm not going to give him... I'm not going to take points away because he got lucky.
Well, and I got news for you. You're not winning it without Kyrie. Like, you know, I mean, that was the piece. If he misses the first round and comes back, it doesn't matter.
You're not winning it without luck. I'm sorry. You're not winning... The Patriots thing is Brady drops into their lap at 199. There's some good fortune there. And so luck's a big part of it. You don't get... I'm not going to take credit away because he got lucky. Tom and Melrose. Go ahead, Tom, on the Butler thing. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I got it here. I have sources on the ground
that
told me this to be fact.
Here we go.
So Kraft's girlfriend there, the 38-year-old mom that had a baby. Okay,
go easy. No, I'm not. No, that's it. No, goodbye. You start off the call with Kraft's 38-year-old girlfriend had a baby. Out.
I don't think that's a dance you want to take.
What, am I nuts? I'm stupid, but I'm not that dumb.
You didn't like where that was going?
No. How's that going to end well for us?
With his sauces on the ground.
How's that? Yeah. How's that possibly going to end well?
I mean, we could have just dropped it.
I did.
No. I mean, after he said it.
No.
Yeah, that's a gamble the dump.
Oh, so you want to hear it? Hear it?
Oh yeah, I wanted to know where he was going.
It's so easy.
I'm not saying we had to broadcast it to the public.
Yes. Where do you think he was going?
Well, I have a theory.
It's obvious where he was going.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it is obvious. Maybe. Scratch girlfriend had a baby, and next thing you know, the player gets benched. What do you think he was driving at?
Well, I mean, that's the easy line to draw.
Or that's why Garoppolo had to get shipped out of
town.
Okay,
we're not doing this on this program. I just told you we're not doing that. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the phone calls didn't start off too strong today, as we first heard from Nader and Quincy.
This guy.
Who really didn't take direction all that well, either.
Nader and Quincy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. Just to answer that thing you guys are saying about how you guys think Belichick is probably his last year, he's probably year to year. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the NFL Network's Big Football Life.
Yes, Nader. You guys speak into your phone, please.
Yeah. Anyways, the one that he put on, I think, in 2009.
I can't do it.
I can see that one coming.
He talked into it for a good 2 seconds.
You obviously could do it. You obviously have a little thing there that you could put to your mouth and speak into it. Why don't you just keep doing it?
I don't get people like that. Like, what do you think it sounds like? It sounds like you're muffling through your freaking socks, for crying out loud. Go ahead, Murray. Do it. Do it, Murray.
The Football Life and Football Checks in 2009, because I think there's a correlation with some of the things that he was saying in that position.
Jim, speak to the mic.
I don't know if you guys saw The Football Life from 2009, but I think there is a direct correlation. Oh, hold on.
And what Bill Belichick was saying then to how he's acting now.
So cell phones, except for to call Felger and Maz, and put the phone to your mouth, put it to your mouth. Speak like, you know, if you're watching, speak like, just put it to your mouth. Don't worry about listening, just talk to it. But other than that, other than calling Felger Maz, cell phones were not meant to talk on. They're meant to text on.
It is. It's like a mini computer is what it is.
It's not meant to talk on. Don't talk on your cell phone.
It's not a verbal device.
Unless you need to call us. But then make sure it's a good spot and you're standing still and literally take, do not listen, do not worry about listening. Take the phone and hold it perpendicular to your pie hole and speak directly into it like this. Swallow the thing.
Yeah, I don't think that was the issue with this guy, though.
I do.
I think he had one of those dangling cords.
A dangling cord. So take the cord.
And just put the little mouthpiece
and put the
to your mouth.
Across your mouth. Yep, exactly right.
I mean, that guy clearly grabbed it, then spoke into it, and then put it back
then
down
let
again.
It go again. Yep.
I mean, what was he thinking?
Red Sox season doesn't start till Thursday, but it's already started some quality bickering between you two.
Have they met expectations the last 2 years?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
No.
You know why?
No.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Well, they've won the division, so you can't do more than that. And then they got to the playoffs and lost to a team that was clearly better than them.
And they get their ass kicked both times.
Yeah, that's the Red Sox in a nutshell.
No.
But don't worry. There's going to be more fun from Mr. Fun, Alex Cora, who's already, you know, enjoying the fact that the Red Sox won the Grapefruit League, 22 wins, and he's removed the tables from the middle of the clubhouse.
This year we have party room.
That's right. And this is what it's going to sound like.
Then we'll bring up the spring stat.
What's really important, though, is the dancing, right, guys? I mean, the tables have been removed. Best spring training record. What's up? We got the best friggin' spring training record. Let's dance, huh? Come on. That's what it's really about. Let's work on a new routine.
You come to party. We play baseball.
Yeah.
We need the fog machine, Murray.
Yep, fog machine, lights. Let's crack open some brews. This is what baseball is really about, huh?
Come, come. You party with me and Mookie.
We continue with your Red Sox thoughts right after this. Again, really more of a visual.
Yeah, but it does work best, I think, if they used, like, late 70s disco. You know, have some shirts off, greased up gentlemen like it's P-Town.
Hey, mister!
That's what it's going to end up looking like now in that Red Sox clubhouse.
Hey, mister!
That's what matters.
Hey, Xander!
As long as the Red Sox are having fun this year, that's really what, that's all that counts.
All right, you're not going to run the first minute of the show when Jimmy yelled at me?
No, Jimmy, do you have that? I didn't even hear this. What happened?
Me neither.
Exactly?
I missed this too. I think he yelled at you.
Oh God!
It was on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad. I apologize.
I don't know. It was just.
I don't think so. I think he yelled in your ear.
No, I think he yelled. Did you yell in my ear? Or did you yell over the air?
I yelled over the air.
Well, either way, I don't care. I heard it.
I was wrong.
He yelled at me.
Oh, you know, now that I think of it, I didn't quite have my headphones on at the beginning of the show. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I didn't either.
We were having the conversation with Beetle about our new studio, and we have 2 A chairs, so we don't have to cross over.
And I basically said, nobody cares about your assigned seating.
So I was just going to open the show just to finish the thought about why I was sitting here or why we want the 2 chairs, and Jimmy yelled at me.
I didn't care about your grab ass.
It was good. I mean, it wasn't good at the time.
Oh, let's get it for tomorrow.
I'd enjoy it, but I bet it's better to...
I was wrong.
Fine, good, no problem, but I bet it's good to listen back to.
It happens, Jimmy. We all make mistakes,
my
friend.
I made a big one.
It's quite
okay.
It
wasn't
I apologize.
That's hardly a big one.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.